Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are continuing our discussion on how to recognize whether you are connecting to a past life. And we're going to hopefully get to that, but we do have some callers in the queue, 310 and 914. We're going to be getting to both of you, so hang out. It's just going to be a moment. A couple of announcements. One, we have heard from a couple of listeners that there were some issues downloading Apple Podcasts, that our podcasts were not showing up, I guess, in the app. So what can be done if you're experiencing a problem with Apple Podcasts is the app can be deleted, reinstalled, and then you can resubscribe. That seems to fix whatever problems might be specific to one's own device. I didn't have any problems getting the podcast, though when we played one, it was like sped up double time. But, you know, we don't listen to the podcast after the show, so we, you know, it doesn't really concern me. But if you're having problems downloading episodes, or if there's a problem with the playback, delete the app, reinstall it, and then resubscribe to our show. And what else? Call in number 914-338-0164 is the call in number. Do press 1 if you would like to speak with us. And we invite you to follow us. And I'm going to post a link on Facebook right now, in fact, reminds me, to share this with all of you. You can join us on our social media sites, Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. We really do appreciate the support on our pages. This is a service that we offer, so we're really, you know, we don't ask for donations, but we do ask that you support our page if you call the show. So hopefully you will like
our
pages.
Well, if you want to give donations, you can.
Yeah, you can give donations, but it's not like we're, you know, soliciting like some of the other shows and, you know, requiring you to pay to get up in the front of the queue and so on and so forth.
No.
So, no, we do accept donations, but really, we would like to be followed also. Send us money and follow us. Okay, so that is it, I think. Anything you have to say before
no.
We take callers?
Sure.
All right, 310 is first, then 914. Hi, 310, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Janet from LA.
Hey, Janet.
I've called before.
Yeah,
Hi,
I know. Yeah, you have a daughter, and you. I remember you.
Yeah.
What's
so
your birthday?
My birthday is 6/9/1967.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I was just wondering. I was just wanted to look at finances and, I guess relationship. But I'm in a much healthier one now than before.
were you in a I can't remember. Was there someone you were talking to online before?
Yeah.
So I remember.
There was.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just wasn't very healthy.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Much
so you're dating someone new?
Said I would know, and I knew right when you told me to. Yeah.
But do you have someone that that you're dating now that you want to ask about? Do you have the person's birthday?
Yeah.
Always help.
Yeah.
Okay.
His birthday.
Go ahead.
June 1st, 1965.
Well, I mean, it's really obvious starting out. the fact that you're connected. Actually, your month to his day becomes his month and day. Your his month to your day becomes your month and day, and the years do the same thing. They're interchangeable. So your 6 to his 5 becomes his year 65. His 6 to your 7 becomes your year 67. 7, 17, and 11. He's a 28-1.
No, he's a 33.
Wait, 7. 6, 1, 65, 7,
no.
17. No.
Oh, no, you're right.
He's a 28-10-1. So you're both compounded. So what that means, Janet, is that when you add up all the numbers in your birth date, the numbers have to be reduced to a single digit, which requires the numbers to be added twice. So 38 is reduced to 11, and then 11 is reduced to 2. In his case, it's 28-10-1. So you're both compounded. Just give us a little bit of background. How did you meet? Is this another online person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just give us a little bit of background. How long have you been dating him? Has this moved past the online relationship into a face-to-face meeting? Or are you
together. We grew up in the same town.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that by coincidence?
Yeah.
Well, you're dealing with a past life individual, and this individual comes into your life and you've been divorced, right?
Yes.
So this individual could not come into your life until that divorce happened. The programming of the individual coming in was already set in your energy field and his as well. But the way the karma was working out, you had to get married to somebody else first, have a child, that kind of thing, and then he comes in. Now, the element between you has to do with water. So first of all, it was in your hometown, was there any water? Did you go to the beach with them?
Oh yeah, we're on the water. We're both completely grew up and have stayed by the water, and
Okay, so that's another significant. I know you have a question about finances, but that's another significant energy field between you and this person. What's happening is that you and this person were meant to come together again in this lifetime based on the past life energy. What's going to occur from this point will be up to the two of you. It will be
creative destiny.
Whether you two want to stay, it can be very good. If you two break up, well, then you break up. The choice will be up to you. It won't be up to destiny. Janet, he had some kind of accident in the past. I don't know if it was motorcycle or he got hurt or there was something minor. I don't know if you know about this, but I'm picking up an accident. Was there?
He came close. He had a blood clot that they caught.
But
serious blood clot.
Well, a blood clot.
I don't know if it would be the same.
You're relating it to a health issue. Maybe that's the vibration,
right.
But there seems to have been something threatening his life. It might have been that blood clot might have been the result of a past life accident. So he, in somewhere in time and space, whether this lifetime or the other one, he was in an accident, motorcycle car, and then it manifested, at least in this lifetime, to a blood clot.
You may want to ask him, Janet, if there was any accident. Obviously, you haven't. I mean, did you know him in the hometown, or did you just grow up in the same town?
No.
We knew the same people,
but we didn't know each other.
You knew the same people, you didn't know each other. So it's possible that there was something in his history that you may not know about. So you may want to ask, I don't know how you're going to ask the question, but you know, somehow get on the topic of cars or something, or motorcycles. Does he drive a motorcycle?
No.
Well, that was past life. Don't worry about
okay.
it. It's past life.
Yeah.
I think. And it manifests in this blood clot issue in this lifetime.
You can slow down. We're not in a great rush. We have one other caller. So
okay.
We know you're talking. It's not like.
Yeah, but sometimes the energy comes in. I got to talk fast. So, and then there's, I don't know, later for later references, a name, James or Arnold. I don't know what that is yet. We don't have to get to it if you don't know. But those names are ringing a bell somewhere in time. Anyways, your relationship with him, it can very potentially grow into something very nice. It's going to be up to the two of you. So that means it's creative. It's going to be up to the two of you. There's no destiny here, Janet. There's no destiny. There's no prediction. If there was a prediction, we would be more specific. But this area of interpretation lends itself to something.
Is he divorced? Was he divorced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he have children?
No.
No children, but you have a child.
I have
one
five.
Daughter. Oh, you have five?
No, I have five.
I didn't know that. I think we've talked about one daughter before, but I don't think the other children.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Well, unless
right.
you have a specific question you want to ask about him, we can go over to the finances real fast.
No, I'm good with him. I like that it's for us to create and not told.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay, so what's the question
about
finances? Are you working? I can't remember what you do.
I'm, I do creative outlets. I have a decor stuff that I do and sell, and I have a Reiki practice that I'm growing.
A Reiki practice?
Yeah. But I've been on, I'm on SSDI from lupus.
Disability, so I remember.
So I'm limited.
You're on disability. You have lupus, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to keep your income at a certain level because you won't be able to receive your benefits if you make too much money.
Right. I need the disability. The health.
How far under what's the cap? How far under the cap are you as far as income? Are you like $400 under a month?
No, I'm right there. I'm
so you're
it
making,
gets a little complicated.
Explain because you're wanting to know about finances, but it's if you're not under.
She wants to know.
I have some finances out there that I have due me that I'm hoping will come through. Back pay from Social Security, car accident, that kind of stuff.
How much is
that?
What waiting for? What sum is that? How much is the money total that you're waiting for? Or give us the separate pieces from disability, from the other.
The disability, it's about $60,000,
$70,000?
Around that,
Okay, and then the other?
I don't know what the other would be. We're not at the end of that.
What kind of accident was this?
She's had lupus.
You have an accident, too.
Oh, you have an accident? You were in a
car accident?
Yeah.
I was. A car turned in front of me.
Oh, so maybe that's the
car
accident.
Car accident, yeah.
Maybe
blindsided
that's.
Blindsided me, yeah.
It wouldn't be my life.
Okay,
so
that could
be
the car accident.
Life.
Without any warning.
Okay, I don't. Your code doesn't suggest an abundance of money per se, but that doesn't mean one can't make money. Your code just says that there'll be struggles in money, it'll be hard to achieve money, but that's not okay. That's just the first step because it's not built in automatically, but you can add attachments, you know, like you buy a car and then you add to the attachments to the car that you want. You have the ability to add these attachments. So what I'm seeing, and then Kristen can respond, but what I'm seeing is that where you stand now in terms of getting these monies that you're waiting for, I think that's going to come in, but there seems to be an outstanding addition of $17,000 a year coming in somewhere.
$17,000 a year, it would have to come from one of these settlements because
I know
because
she cannot make it. I know that.
Right.
I understand that. She can't make a certain amount. But I don't know
if...
That
could be in child support.
Child support? How much do you get child support currently?
I'm not even sure then. Oh, around 15, I think.
$1,500 a month?
Okay, well, that's close.
I think so.
That's close enough. It might be there. There might be another added... creative stuff you're doing with your
decor. The deal is this, that child support is due to end next year. but my daughter has autism, so I'll have to go back and fight to have it extended. So maybe that's just it being extended and perhaps raised.
Yeah.
And the $1,500, because I was getting a $400 figure, but the $1,500 is $375 a week. So that fits in with that. But it
maybe
sounds
that will
like
get, it should
what,
legally. It, well,
you, I'm sorry, say that again.
That should get continued beyond 18 legally. It should be easy.
Okay.
Yeah, beyond her age. Well, your finances seem to be stable and will get better according to our predictions. I don't know if that helps your question.
Just out of curiosity, how much does disability allow you to make every month in your, aside from the disability benefits?
I don't make very much. I make a very small amount on disability. It's more about the benefits.
Right. What I'm asking though is how much do they allow you to make in your own, like, aside from the benefits that you're receiving? How much do you get?
I don't
how much can
the
you
exact
make earn?
Because I don't know the exact figures.
Okay.
Well, whatever it is, Janet, there seems to be a slight increase in your creative endeavors, the decor, the Reiki, whatever you're doing. There seems to be a slight advantage there. And then there seems to be something that's coming in that might be from the child support, but your finances do not appear to be in jeopardy. If anything, they appear to be slightly on the rise.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Janet. Well, hopefully this
that's
has helped.
Good.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. I always
all
appreciate
right.
it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. And Janet can join us on our Facebook page. We hope that she does. All right, 914. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
What's your name?
Maria.
Maria? And where are you
yes.
calling from?
New York.
You weren't in West Side Story, were you?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Maria, what's going on? Maria from New York.
I'm just wondering if there's anything that you can pick up regarding my living situation and if you see any positive changes this year.
Okay. What's your birthday?
September 23rd, 85.
What part of New York do you live in? 1424.
I live in about an hour away from New York City.
Okay, so you're outside of the city.
Yes.
Okay. Are you in a renting situation?
No, I currently live in a home with my husband and kids.
Oh, you live in a home with your husband and kids. Are you
yes.
asking about your living situation in terms of your property? Or are you asking about your living situation in terms of your relationship?
Relationship.
Oh, okay, so that's.
So you're having some problems in your relationship with your husband, and you're wondering what the living situation may result from that.
Yes.
Okay.
And do you rent or own the home now?
We own.
Own.
Oh, and well, this is a private reading, but are there any complications such as somebody else in your life, or you don't express that, but is there anybody else going on? Where it adds to the conflict.
That's what I'm really not sure. Like, on my end, no. But
no.
on his end,
okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I suspect it, but I don't know anything for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maria, what's his birth date?
October 31st, 76.
1976. So you suspect 5, 15. 8, 10, 1. What is he?
28.
Oh, you both are the same master number, but different karmic numbers, 28, 10, 1, 3.
Has he changed his hourly patterns? Is he out when he shouldn't be out? Or does he extend his hours at all?
Well, he's pretty much out of the house. He's working from like early morning to pretty much evening time, but it is, different hours.
Has he always been gone for these extended periods of time, or has there been an increase lately?
He did travel for work recently about a week.
That's okay. So he went on a trip too, which, you know, that's okay. We're noting that. But based on has he been in the same job since you've been married?
No, he hasn't.
You know, don't worry if we're off on this. Don't worry about that. But what's going on with oil or refinery or cars or gasoline?
He actually works in the commodities sector.
Of what?
The trade, like stock?
Of oil and natural gas.
Oh,
he's an analyst.
Okay, so then obviously, Maria, we're picking up on his vibe. Has he ever gone on a weekend when you would feel rather suspicious about where he's going?
Yes.
Yeah. We're psychic, so we give a psychic impression. Is it like fact? We can't predict a fact. We don't know if it's fact. The vibe I'm getting, and we could be wrong, Maria. We could be wrong, but the vibration seems
I'm open. Yeah, we're pretty much at the point where there's nothing there. It's more of because of the kids involved. I think that's really the only thing that's keeping me there, really.
So here's what we think. We think he's having an affair. The relationship's deteriorating as it is. You're not happy, and probably a divorce. Are your children under 10?
I have, yes, so 10 and under.
Yeah.
How many children?
So it's three boys.
Three boys.
And one is 10 years old?
Yes, one is 10, and then my middle one is 9, and then the little one is going to be 7 in March.
Okay, so you see we're picking up on stuff, right, Maria? We're picking up on
stuff.
So, you know, because we don't know you. I don't know who you are. I thought you were from West Side Story.
And they didn't.
Yeah,
now star-crossed relationship, but you know, there's no affair with Tony and Tony and Maria.
So, you got to get an attorney, and you got to make sure if you want to stay in the home, don't give up your rights. Don't give up what you feel. If he's the main breadwinner, just don't leave. Don't leave the house.
Okay.
If you own the home, don't leave. Do you have an attorney? Do you have anybody representing you?
No, not at the moment, no.
Okay. Don't leave the home, Maria, because that is a sense of abandonment. So don't do that. You should get legal counsel. You're probably going to be able to stay in the home if you want, or it might be sold. We're talking the harsh facts right now, not the easy route.
So, but I mean, are you ready to make a legal step? In order to end the marriage, or are you wanting to work on the marriage?
No, at this point, I don't want to work on it. It's just more of the fear, too, of, like, everything that's going to come after it, you know?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I understandably,
okay. Yeah,
but...
You know what, Maria? You're better off...
She was going to say something.
Wait a minute. You're better off going through the fear than to stay in the misery.
Yeah.
So here's we'll let you talk and then Kristen can talk, but let me get this out. You should stay in the home and get an attorney and start proceedings. Probably you'll stay in the home and he'll have to leave and start paying alimony. That's probably going to happen. He's the main breadwinner. Your security will eventually be restored. You'll go through a mess, but look, you're miserable right now. You don't have a good relationship. This isn't working, you know, aside from counseling, if you went that route, but aside from all those efforts to keep the marriage going, if it's just at the dead end, then get an attorney and proceed with the divorce and stay where you are. That's my recommendation, unless your attorney tells you otherwise. But psychically speaking, in the long term effect of a foresight, you'll be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be happier probably than what you are now. But you've got to measure misery with a little bit of fear. Don't worry about the fear. You're not going to die. It's a miserable experience. It's miserable. It's costly. But
he's going to end up paying for it. You know, it's going to come out of that as a marital asset.
Find yourself a good attorney and not one that is going to learn how to milk you for money. You got to get a good divorce attorneys are notorious for padding their bills. They think about you when they pay the bill. They break a pencil and they make you pay for the pencil. They're notorious, but you can get good ones. You can get good ones. You probably won't find one on contingency. You're going to have to pay.
I have a feeling that there's a lot of hidden finances too.
That's where I was going to go, but you didn't let me talk. I was going to talk about him hiding assets, Maria, because that was coming up as a concern. So you want to be, because they have to do a discovery once you file, and they're going to freeze assets, but that was a concern of mine. So go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah, because I've had a feeling too for a while now that he does things with his brother too, as far as like money, like either puts it in his brother's account or vice versa, things like that.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because if he's putting money into outside accounts, then the assets are not under, you know, the marital estate. And you're going to have to discuss this. I mean, you need a really good attorney. You want to get a really talented attorney because there may be a way to track that. So does he suspect that you're going to be filing or talking to attorney? Do you think?
No, I don't think he does. No. I mean, I'm sure.
Go ahead.
I'm sure he probably runs through his mind here and there, but I don't think he really has like a strong feeling that I'm at that point of, And I don't know, I don't even know if he cares.
Well, I mean, whether he cares or not at this point, you seem to be ready to be finished with the marriage too. But I would not reveal that you're having conversations with attorneys to him because it's going to increase his, it's going to increase his hiding assets. He's going to make more of an effort to hide assets, but you need to discuss with an attorney whether you can track what he's been doing as far as depositing money into his brother's account and so on and so forth, if that can be tracked, because that's not legal, obviously. I mean, him hiding the marital assets, is there a lot of money? I mean, do you have a lot of savings?
I have no access to any of that.
Boy.
Well, there's a community property. Right now, if you're listening to the reading, you should get an attorney. I don't know if you've been debating or your friends have told you, but you should get an attorney now.
Get an attorney. Do not tell them you're talking to attorneys and disclose all this to an attorney, and they're going to be able to advise you on how to proceed.
And get a tough one.
Yeah, get a really good attorney. Because if he's hiding assets, there might be a way to circumvent what he's doing.
Okay.
And if his income's over $100,000 or whatever,
it is.
Yeah, I expect $200,000 whatever or more. You know, you have a lot at stake here, so it is going to be a long journey, a year maybe even two, but you've got to start the process. And what most likely will happen is he'll have to leave the house and, pay the consequences of his actions in that regard. But, you can't, don't procrastinate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep in touch with us, Maria. Give us a call back when you've talked to an attorney and let us know what.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I just have one quick question. Do you see anything coming to light as far as his infidelity or no?
Oh, it will come to light. Yep.
I mean, it came to light. I mean, Neil picked up on that in the beginning of the reading that there was another person. Mm-hmm. So.
It will come to light. You'll be found out.
And that is, I don't know, divorce is different in California. I mean, every state has its own rules. There's no fault, but they do look at you know, whether people have affairs in terms of allocating assets and dividing the estate.
They'll go into what he's spending, his bank accounts, his contacts. It all gets pretty intense. It's costly. It's costly. But you have a lot at stake here.
Yeah, and if he's cheating on you, then he's not going to look as good in the court's eyes because you're faithful in the relationship. You're the caretaker of the children. You're upholding the household, and he's
get an attorney who's well versed in dealing with higher financial clients and how they hide assets.
Go ahead. I am currently working. Obviously, I'm not making nearly as much as he does. This is pretty much like one of my first jobs because I've been a stay-at-home mom for a while. And I wasn't sure if that would affect anything.
No, it's not going to affect anything. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
He's the breadwinner.
Okay.
What you're working, you don't need to worry about
that. And you have
a
history of being the stay-at-home mom, so that's going to, they're going to look,
If you make a quarter of what he makes.
He's going to have to pay alimony and child support.
Yeah, don't worry about you working. Don't act paranoid right now. Get an attorney. Don't sit there worrying about things that might obstruct that process. The reading went pretty accurate, right? So we suggest to follow our advice unless you decide to go to therapy with them. But if you don't stay in this misery. You're going to lose and then you're going to win. You're going to lose because, the money and the divorce and whatever that may mean. But things are going to be set up to where eventually you'll, one, have peace of mind, happiness, stability, and probably a good outcome if you get a good attorney. And you can go on with your life. You're not that old.
Okay, Maria.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Keep in touch with us. We have a Facebook page. You can like us. You're always welcome to email us. And, you can call off the show. So there's all kinds of options for you. But definitely, definitely let us know what happens once you talk to that attorney.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. We have a caller from 216. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My name is Patricia, calling from Ohio.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how are you all?
Fine, thanks. So what's your birthday?
7/16/58.
Okay. Go ahead.
I would like to find out. I was attending a college, community college here. About 5 years. Long story short, dealt with discrimination.
Yeah, I remember, Patricia, I remember you, I know you've called us before, and I think recently, but you used to call our show a lot, and there was something about the professor being inappropriate to the students in the class. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah, you have a bit of it. Long story short, I'm not going there anymore, not because I don't want to. But it got to be bullying, sexual harassment, and of course I put in a complaint, and nothing was done. And of course, there were females involved. I spoke to a counselor twice, and the second time I'm talking to her, she's looking angry at me as if I'm bothering her. But I did not ever mention the sexual harassment because since they weren't helping me. With the bullying and the discrimination. I want to know, 2017, I had a health matter to come up, health issue, which I'm dealing with. And that's what, and I stopped in 2018, spring. I need to know if, I get actual help if I put in a complaint. I guess it's still part of the EEOC, but the education division, or send an email to a local television.
What are you? what are you trying to achieve by filing a complaint? Because what I'm hearing is that you withdrew from school because of a health issue, not because of the problems that you're experiencing regarding discrimination and harassment.
That contributed to it somewhat because of the stress and the anxiety.
Okay.
And, so that's, and then since they just kept on failing me in classes on purpose, you know, all this nasty little behavior, but that's federal property.
So you're trying
on doing this. So
what are you trying to achieve by the complaint? Are you trying to obtain monies, or are you trying to have grades?
I'm not interested. I could care less about the finishing up the course because I could have, you know, I'll get that somewhere else, but it was a waste of my time. I mean, this constant, I'm being treated, you know, like garbage.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult to obtain a settlement from a complaint. I think it's going to be challenging. The reason why is a lot of times the systems that are set up to protect people are not, always
the teachers.
They protect the institutions, not, you know, not the people that they're supposed to protect.
Not the customers.
That's what I think. Neil may have a different opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you have to prove all these things, and you have to find legitimate cause and action. Mm-hmm. So it's a hard route there. In terms of that, you can file complaints, and you can potentially threaten or damage the reputation or do some bargaining plea or something. But aside from all that, which could be possible, you know, when you talk about the suffering and what you had to go through, well, it's hard to collect on that because you have to really prove damages and you have to make sure that they're directly responsible for those damages. You know, stress is stress. Everybody has stress. So to try to collect from that is one thing. But what is your main question? Let's get to your main question.
All right. Now, should I, and I thought I couldn't afford an attorney, but I guess they would have to do this on a certain basis until if I got something. I mean, let's just say I got a settlement, I would have to wait that time. But I was, as I said, I just was ignoring them, and they just kept it up, and I just said, you know, I'm just going to go.
Well, if you're looking for an attorney on contingency, first of all, they will be interested in the institution. Do they have deep pockets? Is there a lot of money that can be collected? And then they have to base it on the substance of your complaint and what you have to, you know, go to the hospital. Can you directly say it? Was there an incident of harassment that you can directly connect with their witnesses? They have to see, one, that if they're going to take something on contingency because you can't afford an attorney, that the institution has, there's a lot of money there. Two, they're going to have to determine how strong a case you have. Once they determine that, they might take you on contingency, but they're going to be most interested in the resources and the financial status of who you're attacking. That's what's going to get the most interested.
Do you have have you documented what you're claiming has happened, and is there anything significantly strong that would help sway an attorney into taking your case as a contingency?
I would say yes. I mean, I still have the initial complaint that I put in.
Can you share with us your evidence? What is the strongest evidence that you have?
All right. Sheesh. At that time, God, this was 2015, I had talked with the president by phone. And I told him at that time, the one teacher is yelling and screaming at me, you know, in front of others in class. No reason. And failed me in that particular course in the testing because the equipment was faulty. I had to wait a whole year to retake that class. One. then got 2017, April 5th, 2017. I'm still taking classes. That particular teacher and his friend, which is the coordinator, I wanted to get my need, you have to come in because it's a secure area, get my badge updated. And I was asking him just in front of, and I kept asking him. And so he's saying that I am not, Patricia, you are not a student. And it caught me off guard. I said, what did you say? And I yelled at him to, get it done. Now, he was saying this in front of, because he gives tours to students and their staff and other students. So if I wasn't a student, I mean, I have proof of that, obviously. I mean, I'm being denied access to the equipment, the use of equipment, access to the use of the facility. I have that notated. And yes, I know it sounds like he said, she said, and blah, 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 blah. But like I said, much of this was done in front of other teachers, students, visitors, meaning,
Well, do you have care? I mean, we believe you. So there's no,
right.
You don't need to convince us that there was.
I can't take you to court.
You better realize, Maria. You got to realize, Patricia, that we cannot give
legal
advice.
Right.
We are not allowed to give legal advice. We can give psychic impressions, but we can't give legal advice. We can suggest you seek an attorney, and tell them the situation, so that you don't just keep running over the same dialogue over and over and over. You got to put it into action and see if there's anybody that would be willing to take your case on.
As far as what you're telling us and the events that happened that you've documented, what you really need, what would make your case stronger, is the people that you say witnessed these things happening being witnesses for you. He said, she said. Other people thought.
See,
but
this is all substance for an attorney.
Yeah.
We don't know what your question is. Go to an attorney. There might be a case there.
Yeah, you
but
have
it,
to
but
do
it's,
that.
It's,
well,
go, it's kind of vague
question.
In terms of what
yeah.
your damages are and how you can prove it. It's not totally strong. We wish you well and put out good energy, but you need to talk to an attorney on job
right.
discrimination or something like that, harassment and workmen's rights and whatever it is. You need to go to an attorney and find one that might take it on contingency, because there's hundreds of people who have situations like you, and they just it's just not a worth an attorney's time and effort to take it on contingency when the things are somewhat vague and they're emotional in status and yelled at you and you couldn't use the equipment. Well,
yeah,
but
it's sexual harassment as well. Of course, they're going to deny that.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you've got, whatever
you've got to
you've
present
got,
it.
You've got to present it to an attorney.
Right,
that's what you've
right.
got to do. That's where you need
all
to
right.
go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we put out good energy,
we'll keep you in our energy work.
Maybe the
sure.
energy work. We remember who you are and we'll put that out for you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Patricia. Thanks. Good luck. Let us know. Please call back, because it's been a while since we've talked, I think. So if you do talk to an attorney, we'd love to hear the update.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, we encourage our callers to keep in touch with us, because it's an ongoing story. A lot of times when I ask if they've called before, callers get defensive, like, it's been a long time. That's not the reason I ask. It's because we, want to establish, whatever history we've had with them and understand what's gone on since.
Yes, and as well as this new year is opening up, follow us. Become part of our family here and keep in touch. And like we said, donations are always asked for, but if you don't, that's fine. We're here to.
Well, donations are always welcomed.
Welcome, yeah.
Not asked for. Or we'd be soliciting them. Yeah. We always welcome donations.
Yeah. So.
And your support on our pages, of course. Okay. So we were talking about past lives, and one of the things you mentioned, Neil, was if someone is in a family and their interest, they have a specific interest in something or a talent that's completely apart from the rest of the family, unique to that individual, that may be a sign that they're connecting with past life energy. As well, if they're in a family and the whole family has a specific talent and they're like, I don't know, the Von Trapp family singers, for instance, that can be a past life connection as well.
I remember a case where I said to the parent on the phone.
Is this different one?
This is another one. Okay. I said to the parent on the phone, boy, how old is, do you have a son? Yes. Is he around 7 or 8? Yes. Why? They were calling for other reasons. And I said, well, this is odd, but that kid of yours in a past life was a private detective. And she goes, oh my God, I want you to come to the house. So I went to the house. Anyways, the 7 or 8 year old kid had one of those, it was a pipe, but it wasn't lit, and it was a Sherlock Holmes pipe. And he walked around with a magnifying glass playing detective all the time and talking about clues. He was obsessed with mysteries. And she said, now, do you know why you picked this up? Because I saw the kid. I said, yeah, this was a past life. Was he Sherlock Holmes? I don't know if he was Sherlock Holmes, but he was obviously in that era. Maybe he worked for Scotland Yard, but he was obviously in that era because there were no policemen. There was nothing in that area of the family. There were no movies that he had seen. He was 7 years old. He was cartoons stuff. And this was quite some time ago before there was all this streaming and Netflix and everything. So, you know, maybe he saw something with Basil Rathbone one day and when he was 6 or 7 and he thought, oh, I want to be a detective. But highly unlikely. Past life. See, past life. It can happen with things like that. It can happen with music. It can happen with
writing, painting,
anything. It can happen with criminal kids that are criminals and they don't know what the heck, why, and they start.
Right. They live in great homes that are supportive and with loving parents, and the child is like out of control and
violent. It's a nightmare. The kid at 7 or 8 is torturing animals and doing all kinds of things.
But it's true that a past life may surface later in life. Like the story you told several times on the radio about the person who wanted to go on the bike trip in China.
I went to China.
And so this was nothing that, connected to him at a young age. I mean, he was not connected to China at a young age, but suddenly felt compelled to go to China in his adulthood.
Yeah, the intensity of the past life will determine when it comes in into the current life. If it has to come in right away because of the intensity of it and the duration of time and everything, it will appear immediately. If it can wait, then it kind of lets the years roll by, and then it appears by assignment. Past life energies are on assignment. They're assigned to the soul as soon as the soul starts to enter the energy of the planet again. They're already assigned. Past lives aren't by accident. They're energies that one has established and lived through in a past life that has had some kind of consequence. Whether it's good or bad, it comes in. If it sort of blends into a person's life, then it's just the general assemblage of past life energies that are involved in a person's living standards. There's nothing significant about it, but it still is a composition of energy. If it's significant, then there'll be dramatic turn points and episodes that will quickly highlight that incident.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, in cases where there's violence with a child, for instance, and it's coming from a past life energy, that's the only reason that they're violent is because of whatever occurred in the past life. The process in which to soften the effect of the past life, I mean, that's very important for a parent to understand, because perhaps that violent tendency can be eliminated completely if the source of that violence is understood.
Well, as we open this up more to scientific discovery and more academic discovery about what a past life is, I think these things should be taught in school. There's more of a degree of control and insight into how something can be done. Now, some energies are fixed. Some past lives are fixed. Some come in, they may be unwelcomed, but they come in, but they can be worked with and managed. And if there is a realization of where the past life is coming from and what it's all about, then that's important. Now, even it gets complicated, because somebody can say, well, your child is having problems because during pregnancy you didn't get oxygen, or this, that, or you were violent, or you were smoking.
Right, and that can result in, obviously,
past life too.
Past life, but then that past life comes into the body and creates, because of like smoking, for instance, then there is a physical manifestation of that past life that causes damage to the brain cells or whatever it may be.
It's really complex.
Complex.
Because everything we have on our planet in the physical world is traced to some past energy. You know, we think we come up with a new invention or a new show or this or something brand new. There is hardly anything brand new. It all comes from something else. It's all evolving. Our knowledge evolves. Our inventions evolve. Our creations evolve. And so do this the soul. Our souls are our bodies that inhabit our souls and spirits have evolved over time. And that energy is now manifesting in the current substance of the person. When we talk about creativity, we're talking about what one can do extracting, aside from the karma of past life. Aside from that energy, what does one get to do in the breath of freedom? There's a freedom clause involved in the soul.
As opposed to Santa Claus.
Or anything of that nature. That we have this free choice that we get to make at some point in our lives. Sometimes it's simultaneous with karma. But oftentimes it comes about after karma has been reduced to a certain extent. Do we have a caller?
No, I'm just letting you know what our time limit is. We've got 2 minutes.
2 minute warning. Well, the interesting thing, a human being can start to construct what is karma in my life. You can go inside yourself and get a feel for it and feel that it's something you've carried in from another lifetime. That's just intuition, a feeling you get.
Right, and that extends not only to events that occur in life or certain talents that an individual has, but also relationships that come in. So even though the first, whatever, karmic number a person is, the first, say, 35 years of a person's life may be more fixed in karma, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be karma from past lives that come in after that karmic age. And also there will be relationships that are karmic. I mean, we just dealt with people on the radio show that had past life karmic relationships coming in, you know, at the age of, 54?
Yeah.
Or 53?
Even when you're being psychic,
51?
You know, some of the content that a psychic picks up is from the force of something that was karmic. Something that was involved in the past life, because the psychic's supposed to have that third eye where they get out of their body and see time as past, present, future, consciously. And yet they do it in a sort of crude way because they're still within their body, but they're using their best abilities through the third eye to achieve a sight that is beyond the physical dimension. And then that can be determined whether it's karma or where it's coming from, sometimes even specific to a location and a time in a time of history. But everything is involved in the process of this, but not everything is past life criteria. We're just trying to open up a discussion as to how to recognize what might be past life in one's life, as opposed to something that's fresh and creative. New.
Okay.
What value that has? It has a lot of value because the karma of a past life helps us to move forward once it's resolved.
Once it's resolved. And if one can recognize karma in their life, rather than letting the karma overwhelm them, they can start to manage it, which is important. Okay, so we are back on the air next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers.